Been out of pocket a little bit here for about the last month or so. I don't know kind of whether I'm coming or going. When I think I'm coming, I'm going, and when I think I'm going, I'm coming. So, but anyway, I want to thank y'all for all your prayers and concerns and considerations for us over the last month. I found out a few things. I've learned to appreciate the nurses of the world and the caregivers of the world. They're certainly underappreciated and underpaid and all those things. I've learned how to fix hair, women's hair, I might add. I've learned how to bandage up a wound or two a little bit. I've learned how to cook a meal or two, not near as good as the ladies that fix meals. But I tell you, that may be my next new job, Barney's Caregiving Service. You probably don't want me, though. Probably don't want me. But, pardon? Probably, if we had beans, they were burnt. But anyway, we're on the mend. We're on the mend. Started rehab yesterday, and I think the rehab was a little bit of an eye-opening experience. You know, first rehab, and kind of makes you realize how much you got to do, you know. But we're good. We're good. And we're good. And prayers were certainly appreciated, and they were a blessing to us. Appreciate Scott. Scott, our intentions when we started this class was that Scott would do one lesson, and I'd do one lesson, and then Scott would do one, and I'd do one, and poor old Scott, he's pretty well caught them all, I think, so he may want me to do the next three or four, I don't know. But anyway, tonight we're doing lesson seven in our series on study from 1 Peter. Our scripture text is going to be the third chapter of 1 Peter, verses 8 through 12. I have a picture up here on our screens that I'd like to bring to your attention. And I'm going to go back and make a few points here that I can't emphasize enough, that we all understand the situation at hand. You know, if we're trying to understand what Peter has in his letter and what he's trying to say to the people, we need to have an understanding of the times. This is the darker brown, I guess that's brown. Anyway, that's the Roman Empire. That is a shaded area that was the Roman Empire. When we think of Rome today, of course, we're just thinking of the Boot Peninsula there that juts out into the Mediterranean Sea. But back at this time when this letter was written, the Roman Empire was expansive. If you notice, the Roman Empire covered all the way around the Mediterranean Sea, all of North Africa, Spain, all the way up into England, what we call England today, and then across southern Europe, across southern Asia, and then over into parts of what we today call the Middle East, and then down into Egypt. That was all the Roman Empire at that time. That was a lot of land, a lot of country to occupy, and the Romans had control over all of this region, and they usually established colonies, sometimes military colonies, but it was under their rule, and they allowed a certain amount of self-rule at times. They allowed self-rule because under self-rule, their own people sometimes could handle their people a little bit better than they could under Roman rule without them having to intervene. If there was problems, then they would step in. Now, this Roman Empire was ruled by a series of emperors. The emperor at this particular time when this letter was written, if we assume that it was written around 63 or 64 AD, and by all accounts it was, this is when this letter was written, and if it was written from Rome, which most people tend to believe it was, not all. Some think that maybe it was from a different place, but most think that it was from Rome. But the emperor at that time would have been Nero. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the Emperor Nero or not, but Nero became emperor when he was, I think, 16 years old. He wasn't quite 17 years old. And he became emperor through the influence of his mother. His mother found a way to eliminate all the competition, and she got the Praetorian Court or Council to support him, and he became the emperor of all of the Roman Empire at that particular time. And he reigned for about 14 or 15 years, and at the end of his reign, he took his own life. But during his reign, a lot of things happened. A lot of things happened under the reign of Nero. What do you think when you think of Nero? Great guy? Horrible guy. It said that when he initially started out, history says that he did some good things. He did some good things in terms of developing infrastructure in the empire, road buildings, things like that. But as time went on, as was typical of that time, he became very skeptical of those around him, and then he became very cruel and very embittered against people around him, including his own mother, whom he had killed. And he had his first wife killed, and some speculate that he had his second wife probably killed, along with eventually some stepbrothers and other family members, because, you know, if you eliminate those that you feel like are possibly an adversary to you, then that strengthens your own position. It was during this time, and kind of an interesting fact, I think, along about 64, about 64 A.D., there was a great fire in Rome. This is when Nero was the emperor. Much of Rome, a lot of the greater part of Rome, burned. And some speculated that Nero himself was responsible for that. Others did not feel that way, but some historians think that he was responsible for that, because that was going to give him leverage in his political position at that time, because now he was moving into an area where he was starting more severe persecution of opposition, including the Christians. So after the fire in Rome in 64 AD, this is when Nero started a brutal attack on Christians. Now, what's interesting to me about it, this was also fairly close to probably the same time that Peter's letter was written. Maybe Peter had written this letter just a year or so prior to this, and part of his letter was warning the people about great persecutions that might come their way, and they did. During Nero's later years, this is when part of his persecution included, of course, killing people. This is when Christians were fed to the animals, to the lions. This is when Christians were cornered and set on fire and burned to death alive. It was a very brutal, very cruel time here. And so Peter had written this letter around 63 A.D., just right prior to this. And his letter was a letter that, where he was admonishing the Christians about things to come and about how to live their life and how to treat each other. Now, the Christians that he was writing to was more likely, or not more likely, it was Christians more in the eastern, in what we call Asia Minor. Asia Minor up there on the map would be today what we would call Turkey, where the Turkey and part of the Grecian peninsula, and in that region. That was Asia Minor. And this is where Paul had visited on his second missionary journey and established a lot of the congregations there. But this is where this circular or circuit letter had been written to these people, to Christians there. Now, the another interesting fact is what's after Nero's death, for another 150 years or so, there was a lot of fighting back and forth between rival factions in the Roman Empire, trying to gain control, trying to gain power. Someone would become emperor and last a while, and then someone would come in, a rival would come in, and he might get assassinated or he might get overrun, and a new emperor would take his place. Along about 320 A.D., the emperor became a man by the name of Constantine. What do we know about Constantine? He was a good man. He was the emperor that did what, Ruth? That's right. He was the first emperor of the Roman Empire that allowed Christianity, that allowed for Christianity to be taught and to be practiced by the people. But keep in mind, this is 100 and maybe 170, 80 years after this particular time here. So there was a time of a lot of hard times for the Christians living in that particular part of the world. Constantine, for example, he even made his headquarters. He left Rome and he set up where? Constantinople. That's over on the eastern side. Today, Constantinople is Istanbul. Istanbul, Turkey. Okay? So there are just some interesting things there that I think are very interesting when you look at the Roman Empire and you look at the leaders that they had and you look how Christians existed and were able to survive during this period of time. And many did not survive, by the way. Their physical lives were taken from them. But here is Peter. Here is Peter writing a letter to these people, 63 or so. And he's writing this letter to these Christians. And he's kind of telling them, things are, you're going to be persecuted. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. Let me refresh you to the people. Let me talk about how slaves are to treat their masters. Let me tell you how wives are to treat their husbands. Let me tell you how husbands are to treat their wives. So he's trying to re-energize these people on good principles of Christian living in times of great stress and trials and tribulations that's already existing and it's certainly going to exist. Now, in our scriptures tonight, in verses 8 through 12, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would seek life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, in verse 8, when he says, finally, that doesn't mean his letter's drawing to a conclusion, does it? Doesn't mean that at all. It just means, okay, now I'm going to get back around to talking to everybody. I've been talking to men, I've been talking to women, I've been talking to those that living under oppression, maybe some that were lived under slavery. Now I'm going to get back to talking to everyone. And I can't help but think that when Peter is writing this, he can't help but be thinking back to Acts chapter 2, and when the church was first established. I can't help but, this is Peter. Peter's speaking to the people in Acts chapter 2, and now here he is writing this letter. But in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 38, we have the basic model right in front of us for what a Christian is. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And this is the next two or three verses is what I want you to think about. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, when I think of that, I think of that as a model that we have, that these apostles had. They taught, people repented, they were baptized, they were taught, shown how to live their lives, how to perform their actions, how to share in their lives, you know, how to be steadfast, how to be together. Now Peter's writing this letter later on in a different time, isn't he? Different time, different place, different situations. He's writing, but it's the same, you know, the same thoughts are the same. Thoughts are the same, you know. And so what Peter is saying here is, you know, all of you be of one mind. Be like-minded is what that means. Be of one spirit. Wasn't that what he said basically in Acts 2:38 and then following? And now here he is saying it again in a different time, under different situations, under different circumstances. Be of one mind, having compassion. Compassion is another word for what? Well, love is, sympathy is a word that comes to my mind here. You know, be sympathetic, sharing your feelings for one another. In Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Yeah. And what else did he say? Not only do you rejoice with those who rejoice, but you mourn with those who are mourning. You know, he was telling the people, don't forget that. Love as brothers. What? No. In the Greek, you know, as most of y'all know, again, I'm a great Greek expert here. What Greek word are we using here for love? Not agape. Not agape in this case. It's philos. Like Philadelphia, you know, the city of brotherly love, so they say. But it's the word, the Greek word for this one is philos, P-H-I-L-O-S. And again, what he's saying here, what's a good parallel set of scriptures that Peter is talking to him about, that another great Christian author shared many of the same things? In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, the Apostle Paul said pretty much Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So this is Paul, right? This is Apostle Paul. Why do you feel like that Peter here is having to say these things to Christians? David? Okay. They're under Roman rule. If you're under someone else's rule, and perhaps you have a leader, maybe like Nero, and everything is coming down the pipe as orders from Nero, and you are being mistreated very badly, and maybe even in fear for your life, you know, these principles would be pretty hard to follow, wouldn't they? Be pretty hard to follow. But if Christians can't follow these things, who can? If we're to put on the appearance of Christ and we're to be living in a Christ-like world, if we can't do some of these things, then we've proven our own point wrong, haven't we? Yeah. Any comments? Okay. In some of one of Constantine's writings, and I don't remember exactly how this was worded, but in one of Constantine's writings, this emperor who allowed Christianity, he allowed it because of what he seen in the practice of those people in the lives of other people, that he thought that Christianity must hold something that they didn't have at that time. I don't remember. Brendan, do you remember anything about that? Okay. Be compassionate. Another word for compassionate here, I think, is tender-hearted. Okay. Be courteous. We have any trouble following these things? Be courteous sometimes. Do we ever mess up on any of these things? Compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Okay? Have you ever been in a situation where something come along that's, you know, really almost think you got to repay? Or, you know, insult for insult. You know. I remember one time, not been that long ago, long enough, and probably don't need to repeat it, I'm going to tell on myself here. I was coming down here by our beloved Walmart down here, down the road here. And Debbie and I, we're on our way to church. That makes it even worse. But we were uh, we were coming to church, and I was pulling along in front of the store. And, you know, you got those white lines there, which means you let everybody cross and everything. And we'd pulled up there, and we'd stopped. And some guy came out of the store, and he was screaming, yelling at his wife for spending too much money and different things. And, you know, he got up right before I was at, and I was completely stopped. And he started screaming at me, you know, get out of my way. And he used foul language, and you're not supposed to be stopped here or whatever. And I was stopping just to let him cross. So me being me, I couldn't let that go. You know, I couldn't let it go. So he walked off over there to his vehicle. So I just whipped around, drove in, and blocked him off. I was going to show him, you know. And Debbie goes, now what are you going to do? And I thought, well, I don't know. You know, I guess I could repay evil with, you know, I could repay him here, I guess. Or maybe he'd repay me even more. I don't know. But he's a little guy. I think I could have took him, Bill. I don't know. But anyway, I just drove on to church and just was quiet the rest of the way to church. And I thought, I'm a fool. You know, there's nothing I was going to do. I mean, that guy, you know, he had no business acting the way he acted. But there's no sense in me thinking that I'm going to repay him. Now, in this situation, they're talking about real evil and real wrongdoing, isn't he? And these Romans, you know, talking about really some wrong stuff, you know. They're going to oppress you. They're going to take everything you got. They may hurt you. You're going to have to hide. You're going to have to worship maybe in houses or maybe even in catacombs somewhere. You know, it's not going to be easy. These people are evil. You know, they're mean. But he's saying, don't return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And then he gives some scriptures there from Psalms, the 34th chapter, 12 through 16. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What's he saying? Let God take care of it, right? Yeah. Refrain your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. So now he gave him some, he started out in verses 8 and with some positive comments. Be like-minded, sympathetic, love one another, compassionate and humble. And then in verse 9, he gives them some negative comments. Don't go out here and repay evil for evil. Do not repay insult for insult. You know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Yeah. There's a lot of scriptures. There's a lot of things said by various writers. A lot of things said by Jesus himself about how we're to treat one another, including our enemies. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. About verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asked you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard it said that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Yeah. So if we're looking at those verses, yeah. Who's speaking here? Jesus. Who's he speaking to? This is part of his Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? Up on the mountain. And Jesus is saying these very same things here. Yeah. Now, any comments?
He didn't say Bill White looked at him, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Probably Bill. Probably Barney Crawford, just about any of us, I think, that would listen.
What I think of when something like that happens, remember who's child.
Right. Right. Okay. As Christians, and what he's saying to these people is here is we're to be devoted to the same cause. We're to be dedicated to the same Lord. We're to be purposely intentional on having the same victory. And we're all striving for the same goal. And he's saying, I'm going to give you some ideas on how to do that. There's quite a bit that's spoken in the Bible on the topic of vengeance, isn't there? Quite a bit. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 35, God says what? Whose is it to avenge? Vengeance is mine, or it is mine to avenge. I will repay. We're actually, when we take steps to do things ourselves, we're actually taken away from God, aren't we? We're taken away from God. In Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22, if the enemy is hungry, give him food. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water. The Lord will reward him or you. You. The Lord will reward you. You know? Now, all these things, yes. Maybe it kind of goes back to the human principle of sometimes we think that we have more than what we do. We think that we're in charge of something, and really we're probably not in charge of much, right? Except how we conduct ourselves, and that's what he's telling them here. You are in charge of how you conduct yourself. You are in charge, you know? If that Roman soldier says, go with me a mile, which was the custom or the law, I guess, is not a custom, but they were commanded if a Roman soldier came along and he wanted someone came up and said, Eddie, you know, carry my whatever I got to carry here. By law, you had to go a mile. But he said, don't go a mile. He said, go what? Go 2 miles. Go 2 miles. Now, All these things are easy to read, and maybe even we think we understand them, but sometimes they are hard to do, aren't they? With the world we live in and all the things that go on. Yes, sir, Bill?
What does it say? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it.
I think that may be one of your most favorite scriptures now. right? Straight is a way and narrow is a gate. That's what, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Yeah. Just keep trying, you know. But I can't imagine what Peter. Wonder what Peter was feeling when he wrote this letter to these people. And if he was indeed in Rome, he was a long way from these people, wasn't he? He was a long way from these Christians that this letter was addressed to. If this letter went to Asia Minor, that was a long way over for these people to get this letter and to be circulated among them. So evidently it was an important enough letter that he felt compelled to write it and to talk about these things. To talk about husbands, how you treating your wives? Wives, how you treating your husbands? You know? And I think last week in Scott's class, somebody mentioned that women during this particular time, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, that women had very few rights in society or anything like that. But I also can't help but think about all the beautiful things that women did at that time, some of the great women of the Bible. I can't help but think about, you know, Lydia, those that opened their homes and did things, you know. So... And under the old law, there's a lot of things that's always been confusing to me and hard to understand. You know, we think about the Romans, but go back before that. Go back into the Old Testament time and look at some of the cruelties and some of how the inhumanity from man to man and things and the barbaric treatment. You know, and how children were sacrificed and different things. And you think about those things. And what? Okay. And, but, you know, Jesus came preaching a different message, didn't he? So Peter's writing this letter. Finally, doesn't mean he's finishing up his letter, because he's not. He's just getting back to all of us. He's getting back to me and to David and Todd and anyone else, the whole group, men, women, all the Christians, isn't he? He said, now let's get back to talking just how we're going to treat each other. How are we going to control our tongue? How are we going to control our deceitful nature? How are we going to react when we're mistreated? How are we going to act when that hateful Roman soldier comes marching down through here? How are we going to be Christ-like then? You know? And David mentioned, during the first century, the church was growing. The church was growing because it had something that appealed to people's hearts. Be tender-hearted is what he's saying. Appeal to their hearts. I always wondered how many people actually took up that Roman soldier's bag and went that second mile. You know? And if there was quite a few of them, what kind of impression would that have made on them? It made a pretty favorable impression. Well, who are you? Well, I'm so-and-so. You know, I'm going to carry it an extra mile. Let's go on an extra mile and let's talk about Jesus. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Or I'm going to do it because you look tired or whatever. Or you could walk along and say, okay, give me your bag, and you go stepping it off, and here's the mile marker or whatever, and you throw it down and say, done my duty. I'm through. Yeah. Okay. I think it's time for our second bell. That's four verses. Four verses. We go in verses of four, we'll get through every week, won't we? We get through four verses anyway. May not ever get through First Peter, we'll get through four verses. Thank y'all for being here. Appreciate y'all. And kind of nasty weather. It wasn't very long ago we was all complaining about how hot it was. Oh, it's September and it's 100 degrees out there. What's going on? I can't take this heat. Now we go out there and we shake and shiver. And, oh, I don't like this cold weather. Never happy, are we? Let us know. All right. Thank y'all for being here. Appreciate y'all very much. Thank you.